about to read some fairly familiar scriptures here this evening. I'm going to read this one out of James in the first chapter, and many of you have it already memorized. But I want to read this one and several others and bring a few points out possibly. In the beginning with the first verse, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, if we are strong enough to withstand the temptations that come before us, and if our faith is strong, then we're going to be able to become stronger, and we're going to be able to walk forward with the Lord, and we're going to be able to help others and lead them in that direction too. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Now, if we are strong and we have sufficient faith, and we need to know something of the Lord, if we seek him in the proper attitude, we're going to find it out. But this sixth verse here qualifies quite a bit. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But if we have an eye single toward God, and we seek after him, he's going to make these things known unto us. I want to drop down here a little ways and read a few more verses. I believe I'll start with 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of his life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So if we are tempted, we know where it's coming from. But every man that is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So here it's pretty well proving that if we go in our own ways and seek after the things that we might lust after that aren't good, we're doing it on our own, and in the end, it will bring our destruction. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we can see this in so many places, where the wrath of man has prevailed, and the righteousness of God has totally been abolished. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We've got to be doers of this. We can't be hearers only. We've got to take action. I want to go over to Proverbs for a few verses. Second Proverb. And here is some words that, as we read the Psalms and Proverbs and several other places, they all fit pretty close together. And in a little different way, sometimes they bring it to light, a little different thought. I'm going to begin with the first verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. He's telling that he should have these commandments with him, and they should be very close to him. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Now, if we can gather nothing else, but if we start doing this alone, the first thing you know, we're going to start advancing. If we seek for wisdom and understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. This would be really to desire, wouldn't it? If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Now, what do you suppose if the world sought after the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord as they do for silver and gold and riches? If they even put a small percentage of the effort into seeking after the Lord, it wouldn't be long till the whole world would turn around. Then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He is going to strengthen all those that are walking uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. He's going to be there to help us, isn't he? Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom endureth into when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now, if we've made the proper preparations, we're going to be able to deliver from the evil man, aren't we? From the man that speaketh forward things, who lead the path of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness. And how many people have we seen doing that in the world today, that they've left the paths that are right and are walking in darkness, who rejoice in evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked? It's kind of hard to understand that people would enjoy and rejoice in evil. Recently in Phoenix, I don't know just where it was, but a group of boys went out and severely beat an old man, just for the fun of it. They needed something to do, so they went out and severely beat this old man. I don't remember whether he died, but he was in very, very poor shape. But can we believe that anybody could do a thing like this? But it says, mentions here, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths. We can find people throughout the world that are of this type, that they seek to do evil and to commit mischief. In the riots that we have today, there are very serious ones in England at this time, most of those people are just looking for entertainment. They're not interested in a riot. They're not interested in any cause, but they're out there just for the sport of it. Now, if they could go back and read these first few verses, if those people could believe that, that if they sought for wisdom and knowledge of the Lord, that they would be directed. If we could just get that thought across to a few people, it would change the whole attitude of that type of a people. I want to read a little bit out of Romans over here. I believe, though, there's a verse over here in the first proverb. When you get to reading this, there's really no place to stop, because you could read the whole thing. It tells you so well what you should do. But here in the 20th verse in the first proverb, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief places of the concourse, and in the openings of the gates, and in the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. I think that this is something that happens so often. So many people hate knowledge. They don't want to find out what the truth is. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. If we seek the Lord, he's going to make these things known unto us. I want to read a little bit out of the fifth chapter of Romans. Beginning with the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we have sought wisdom and knowledge, we know that this is going to be true. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, this indicates that we might have some problems, and there may be tribulations, but if we're strong, we're going to be able to overcome them, and we're going to have the Spirit of the Lord to be with us, to direct us and to comfort us. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, that is a promise that is going to be given to us. The Holy Ghost is given to us. It's going to comfort us. It's going to make known to us the things that we need to know. And the and its power is limitless. I want to read a little out of Mosiah. In the 7th, or the 11th chapter. Beginning in the 21st or 22nd verse. And it came to pass that they did multiply and prosper exceedingly in the land of Helam. And they built a city which they called the city of Helam. Nevertheless, the Lord seeth fit to chasten his people. Yea, he trieth their patience and their faith. Nevertheless, whosoever putteth his trust in him, the same shall be lifted up at the last day. Yea, and thus it was with this people. Now the people that put their trust in him and follow after him, at the last day they're going to be lifted up. And we know, as we put our trust in the Lord, as we go along day in and day out, that we are lifted up and we're blessed. I want to read a little out of John, 1 John. In the 5th chapter of 1 John, I want to read verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. This is told in so many different places in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon, that if we've kept the commandments and if we ask something of the Lord, he hears us. He does hear us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Now, if we've kept the commandments properly, it's not likely we're going to ask for a whole lot of things we hadn't ought to have. If we ask a lot of foolish things, he's not going to grant them unto us, because we don't need them. But if we've kept the commandments, we know about what we ought to have and what the Lord would be willing for us to have. And if we ask for those things, he's going to give them to us. Over in Moroni in the 7th chapter. Beginning with the 10th verse, I believe. And these words, we could have broken into this any place. There's so much here to be told. But I believe this is the 10th verse would be a good place to start. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. That pretty well tells us what we're looking at, doesn't it? He fighteth against God continually, and he fighteth against man continually. And continually means day and night. I believe that he would enter into our dreams, and probably does, and tries continually to lead us astray. But behold, that which is good inviteth that. Behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Pretty easy to separate there, isn't it? Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is of good and of God to be evil. Now, I have had people tell me that things that they were doing was all right, and that they were good and wholesome. And we can look and see the way they are living and the effect it has upon them and their families, and it doesn't take you for a moment to see that they're totally deceived and that they are being led by the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as daylight is from night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore, I show unto you a way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. It says there that the Spirit of God is given to every man, or of Christ, that is given to every man to know which is good and evil. And that this is the case, people throughout the world have a certain knowledge within them that tells them what is good and bad. And if they do not overcome this, they're going to be directed what they should do. We know people that in all walks of life, in all parts of the world, or know of them, that have done good and directed other people to do good. But yet they didn't know of Christ or God. But yet they lived a good life. And I believe those people were directed in what to do. And I have known a few young people. One young man that Dwayne went to school with. I very seriously doubt that he's been in church more than 5 times in his life. But a very outstanding person. And I believe that probably his family directed him, and he heeded their direction that he should live a good life and not do things that wasn't pleasant in the sight of the Lord. And he may have not even known what he was doing or why, but probably there was a spirit that he heeded, and he followed and lived a pretty good life. And it's too bad that people throughout the world don't take heed into their conscience. I often wonder how long it takes to sear a person's conscience that they believe that committing some of these crimes that we see committed in larger cities and even here we find a few of them now. In New York City at one time that there was a group of people finding over hobos that were sleeping in a doorway. And they'd pour gasoline on them and set them afire. I wonder what possesses a person's mind that would allow them to do such a thing as that. They thought it was kind of funny, the old guys, that it didn't amount to much anyway, and they'd set them on fire while they was asleep. But surely their conscience had been seared beyond anything that could be imagined. How long it would take to bring someone back like that to the realization of the truth and what they should do, I don't know. I want to read a little bit in 2 Nephi. In the 6th chapter in verse 71. And again, this is one that a person to get this whole thing, there's about 4 or 5 pages, maybe not quite that many, several pages that has been I believe it's Jacob speaking here, and preaching to the people, telling them what they should do. But I'll break into this about verse 71. Yea, woe unto those that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delighteth in them. The people that worship idols, and we find a lot of different types of idols to be worshipped today. It's just not an idol that you might see in the street or in some sort of a chapel of some sort that might be in India or Africa, but people are worshiping all types of idols today. When we seek after the total entertainment of ourselves and not after the Lord, I think that we have entertainment as one of our idols. And in fine, woe unto all those who die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold his face and remain in their sins. O my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding the enticings of the cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. It divides them pretty sharp there, doesn't it? O my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you, for if ye do, ye will revile against the truth, for I have spoken the words of my Maker, of your Maker. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. And we know this is as true as can be. If we have done something that's wrong and we're brought up short for it, I don't care whether we're driving upon the highway, whether we're, as they say, caught with our hand in the cookie jar or whatever it might be, we know of a surety when we are wrong. And when somebody speaks against us, it's kind of harsh and all this, but we've got it coming. But if we've kept the commandments, if we've done what was right, there's not going to be a whole lot said against us. And we don't have to worry about the long arm of the law. If we haven't done anything wrong, we're not going to be stopped on the highway. We're not going to be brought into court if we've done that which is right. And if we've kept the Lord's commandments, we're not going to worry a whole lot about the things that are being preached against the evil people, because they're not speaking to us if we've kept the commandments. O then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Remember that his paths are righteous. Behold, the way of man is narrow, and it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. We can't fool him, and we're going to have to go in the direction that we have sought and lived our lives. But if we kept those commandments, we're not going to have to worry about a lot of those things. They're going to be there for us, and the promises that the Lord has made, we're going to be able to reap the benefits of them. I want to go over into Helaman a little bit. in the third chapter. Again, this is another reading that we could probably, you almost need the whole thing. But I believe I'll start back here with, in the third chapter of Helaman, on verse 13. And now when Nephi arose, he beheld the multitudes of people who had gathered together. And it came to pass that he opened his mouth and said unto them, Behold, why have ye gathered yourselves together? That I may tell you of your iniquities. Yea, because I have got upon my tower, that I might pour out my soul unto my God, because of the exceeding sorrow of my heart, which is because of your iniquities. And because of my mourning and lamentations, ye have gathered yourselves together, and do marvel. Yea, and ye do have great need to marvel. Here these people have gathered together to see what he was doing. And he was going to tell them, or going to preach to them. Yea, ye ought to marvel, because ye are given away to the devil, that the devil has got so great hold upon your hearts. Yea, how could ye have given away to the enticings of him who is seeking to hurl away your souls down to everlasting misery and to an endless woe? O repent, ye, repent. Why will ye die? Turn ye unto the Lord your God. Why has he forsaken you? It is because you have hardened your hearts. Yea, ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd. Yea, ye have provoked him to anger against you. And behold, instead of gathering you, except ye will repent, behold, ye shall be scattered. He shall scatter you forth, that ye shall become meat for the dogs and wild beasts. And if we would read further over in the scripture, we'll find that almost that very thing happened. Those people were scattered and driven to and fro. Oh, how could ye have forgotten your God in the very day that he has delivered you? And that's hard to understand. When the Lord has blessed people many times when they receive their blessings, it's pretty easy to turn around and go the other direction, because we feel, well, we don't really need anything more. But behold, it is to get gain, to be praised of men, yea, and that ye might get gold and silver. That's what they've turned away from, or for. And ye have set your hearts upon riches, and the vain things of the world, for the which ye do murder, and plunder, and steal, and bear false witness against your neighbors, and do all manner of iniquity. And for this cause, woe shall come unto you, except ye shall repent. Pretty plain words. And these things haven't changed one whit in about 2,000 years. They haven't changed since the beginning of time. This has been the same as it's been since the time of Adam and Eve. As soon as people prosper, it seems that they turn away from the Lord. And sometimes they're slow to come back and slow to hear. But if we'll keep the commandments and walk uprightly before the Lord, he is going to hear us when we speak to him. When we need knowledge, he's going to make it known unto us. And when we need goods that we are in dire need of, if we've kept the commandments, it's going to be given unto us. But if we do not keep those commandments, we can't turn to him and ask for his grace to be with us and his strength, for it's not going to be there.